This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Annie.
And this is Smitha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. And since I just got back from a trip, did I mention I got back from Hawaii recently? Don't pop it, Samantha.
Feel better.
Yeah, that's fair. And we're about to have some days off for Independence Day here in the United States. We're doing a lighter episode today on routine.
Routines.
Mm-hmm. Are you a routine person, Samantha?
Oh, I don't necessarily have routines, but more like a list of habits. Yeah, I will say I'm all about not making decisions if at all possible or doing things. I just also don't want to do things. is that legitimate? I don't know.
I mean, clearly it's happening, so I guess
like,
it's legitimate.
It's more of like not having a routine is my routine.
Oh, I have heard that as a philosophy,
you
might be onto something.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Is it working? Not quite sure.
It's a fun adventure we're all
right,
on every day.
Right.
I have a lot of friends that would relate to that, actually. And I have a group of friends who were all indecisive, and it's terrible. Anytime we're like, where should we eat? 2 hours later. Man, I'm really hungry. Where should we eat?
We are hangry now. Super hangry.
A lot of times we'll look through Netflix for a movie to watch and just give up.
Oh, like, oh my gosh. I think that's part of the reason I rewatch so many things. I'm like, I don't want to. I know this is going to be safe. Let me watch this again.
Yes. Oh, I do that all the time.
And now I'm going to have to replace Office because Netflix is pulling, or NBC is pulling it.
That's
but not for
right.
a couple of years, it seems.
A lot of things are changing.
Why do things have to change?
And if you're curious what routine might have to do with women and feminism, actually a lot. And we will get into that. But as always, let's start with the definition.
Definition time.
A sequence of actions regularly followed a fixed program. That is what dictionary.com defines as a routine. Or more simply, a series of habits, in the words of an article from Psychology Today's Meg Selig. And I feel, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, yes, humans are creatures of habit. We have routines, structures, schedules. I love that study where they looked into, there's no assigned seats.
Right.
And yet people always sit
in the same spot.
And they get angry if someone.
It's kind of like that whole church mentality, you know, the old school ideas of like, you're in my seat, but like, this is a church. I don't understand. And people really get upset about their one spot.
I've never heard about
that. Oh, yeah. Don't mess with it. It's also a sign of respect sometimes.
Oh.
If you think on like, if there's a person who has been in this church for 20 something years, have sat in this one spot, mm-hmm. and then you try to disrupt that, how dare you?
I guess because I went to my church maybe has had 20 members. There was never an occasion. I mean, even like when new people came in, you always sit in the back when you're new.
Right.
Because you try to, well, like, where
automatic.
Can I sit?
Right.
I like to be, you remember the T-zone?
Oh, yeah. Right now, Annie is trying to act
gesture.
It out for me.
Yes, I'm doing it specifically for you.
Yes.
It's the front row and then the middle.
Right.
And that's
the aisle.
Where you sat to like be in your teacher's best graces.
Right.
And I liked the back of the T-zone.
I liked being in the middle because I feel like it was very inconspicuous.
Mm.
So you don't pay attention to the person in the back because automatically back people are the troublemakers.
Right.
And the front people are the know-it-alls. Sit in the middle.
So you were about the reputation around it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I'm just going to be silent and hopefully I'll disappear. That says a lot. Let's keep going.
Routines do make things easier in theory. It's less to think about mm-hmm. every day. And when I searched women routine online, almost all of the top results were for makeup.
Of course.
And then like 3 pages in working out, which I think does say a lot.
Huh.
Yeah. So we thought we'd have a fun for us, I guess, thought experiment.
Oh, yeah.
Comparing our routines.
Yeah, and I love, once again, we were just previously talking about how you had written your thing out, and I came behind, I was like, holy crap. I'm like an equivalent of the rat just running around a trash can, like, what can I find? Where is this? But I'm like, well, great, Annie. Thanks for looking so adult-like and seemingly put together while I'm over here just hoping to not fall apart.
I think that might be the first time since I've become an adult someone's called me an adult. When I was a kid, I got called an adult a lot.
You are an adult.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay. So my weekends, I will say, are all over the place.
They're, right.
But weekdays, in the morning I wake up between 6 and 7:30. I do not set an alarm unless I have something like way earlier than that. Or I'm really nervous about missing it because my body is just like, this
time. Wow, it just automatically wakes up at that point. I mean, I mm-hmm. definitely have that time frame too, but not that early.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Oh.
But that's how it is. I drink a glass of water, run 4 to 8 miles, usually 6. And then I drink more water, do some kind of like weightlifting, push-up thing, eat breakfast, brush my teeth, take a shower, get dressed, which can take a while for me to decide what to wear because it's mostly weather-based. But I feel like I look so frumpy every day. I'm basically wearing workout clothes at work very often.
That's not true. You had a nice little jersey on yesterday.
Space Jam jersey.
So that's a thought.
Again, an adult. Very adult I am. When I wear makeup, I do wear makeup every day, actually, generally. But it's like tinted lip gloss and mascara and sometimes eyeliner, sometimes. Mm. And then I walk to work, drink a cup of coffee with a shot of espresso, usually while watching YouTube videos. Mm. And then at night, when I get home, if I don't have anywhere to be, which is a rare, beautiful thing, I'm probably out of my clothes in like less than a minute and in a long t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Mm-hmm. I try to write 30 minutes a day, and I used to read 30 minutes a day, but that is not a thing anymore. And then I stretch. Most of the time, I try to stretch. And then 30 minutes before I go to sleep, I stop checking my phone, which has caused a lot of my friends to be very confused because they know I stay up late. And I have the best of intentions of going to bed at like 10:30.
Right.
And then I just don't.
That's a great habit, though, to turn off your phone, especially in this day and age and all the things that you see and mm-hmm. how it riles you up.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. And I have a lot of trouble sleeping. So I've taken all of the tips. I've tried all the things, and I'm not sure that this helps, but I like to think that it probably does. And in general, I sleep from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. That is the time.
Oh, wow.
That is when I'm asleep.
You know what? That's super interesting because I think you're like the fourth woman that I've spoken to about having this very limited amount of sleep. Because
yeah.
for me, if I don't have at least 6 hours, and even then, I'm a very moody person, but typically I can sleep till like, I don't know, 8 to 9 to 10 hours long if I can. Of course, after a while, it gets really ugly anyway. But it's really fascinating to hear. I'm like, how do you function?
Yeah, that was another thing that came up. And I think this is a separate episode that I'd love to return to because when I was looking into like the health benefits of a routine versus not having a routine, a lot of the articles were about how women are not getting enough sleep.
Right.
And it was called like the new luxury tax. Like people who can afford to sleep.
Right. It really is. Because people don't have enough time in a day to accomplish everything they need to, they want to, they're supposed to, essentially.
Right. And I'm just someone who has difficulty sleeping. They were specifically talking about like if you have two jobs and you don't have a car, so you have to wake up so early to commute.
Right.
Those kinds of things. Children, getting them to school, work, all those kinds of stuff. So that's definitely something I would love to return to. Sleep.
New episode idea.
Yes, all the time. And this is, I will say, this is what I call a good night. I not infrequently have bad nights where I get what I call surprise drunk.
That's a great title.
It's surprise drunk because you weren't intending to go out that night and you did and you got drunk and then you stay out till 3 a.m., and I have it's been this many days since incident.
Oh, do you?
For this specifically, I've never gotten past 4.
Wow.
If I remember to brush my teeth and wash my face and I don't fall asleep on the floor or the couch, then that's a success.
Did you just say the floor? Do you typically fall asleep on the floor?
I often wake up on the floor after a night like this.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes my body hurt, just the thought of that.
It's because I'm stretching. I'm usually
and
stretching, and then I just like lay back, and
that's the end of the night. I guess that could be worse places that you could fall asleep at.
It's not a yoga mat.
Well, you know, you got a mat. Good job. It's kind of like one of the kindergarten nap maps.
Yeah, exactly like
there
one
it
of
is.
Those. Exactly one of those. If it's the first of the month, I have a whole calendar filling out thing. And if it's the first of the week, I have a whole, like, cooking and preparing thing. But, yeah, that's kind of my routine.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. I do like that you have your weekends to be open to do your thing. Like, everybody needs to have a non-planned time. Maybe I'm just too much of an introvert to be like, oh, God, I have to plan every minute of the day. I'm going to lose my mind. Like, that makes me panic.
Oh boy. You don't want to look at my calendar.
I can't. It's also one of those things, like, my phone, if I see too many, like, notifications. I lose it. Like, one of my really good friends and coworkers, she always has it up. I'm like, I can't look at your phone.
Yeah.
I just can't.
That is stressful. But I use them as, like, to-do lists. Like, I'm marking off, oh, I completed this notification. I completed this notification.
And that's for her the same thing and or a reminder.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, let's talk about your routine.
I don't even, like, I'm trying to avoid this. Do you see this?
I know, and I won't let you.
Dang it. Well, obviously, as I said before, my life is not so much about routine, but more so about habits. So essentially, I have a bunch of things I typically do in a day, but I don't have specific times necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of estimated time frames. Everything's all about the roundabouts.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also thinking, like, I love that we thought of this episode because people were able to relate to my step in home, take bra off routine.
Yeah. It's like every...
or honestly, trying to get away during the whole entire day, whether it's me going to my day job office or here, be like, how can I get away with not wearing a bra?
It's amazing how much revolves around
that.
Oh
my gosh. Yeah. Sometimes I change so many outfits just so I don't have to wear a bra. But I love that that's where we are.
Yeah.
And for me, when I come home, not only does the bra come off, the pants come off.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God I don't have roommates. I will say that. I wasn't able to, like, I remember having roommates and being like, you're going to need to text me before you get home. And especially if you're bringing your partner with you, because this is going to be really shocking for all of us.
Right.
But my routine, like I said before, is a little bit more of a lack of routine. I also do often say, I'm a mess. And, you know, like I said, I read through your stuff and I was like, well, great, Annie. Who can I have in between as a buffer so they forget how put together you seem compared to me? So, you know, coming back to thinking, like, maybe I need to rethink my process. I don't know what... This is a comparison thing. What works from whom, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, you're kind of like, maybe I should try a little harder. That was the other part. But I think it all has something to do with the need to not have a plan. Like, for me, a vacation is not making decisions and to try to shed off that day. So that, I went to England, when did I go? Not too long ago. I think for my birthday. I went for my birthday. And they kept asking me, because they were trying to play great, being a good hostess and trying to make sure that I can get everything I want to be whatever I want to do in that list. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. The only two things I want is I want to see a sheep. Actually, I said I want to hug a sheep.
Oh.
In England. I don't know why. That just came to my head. Uh-huh. And I want to see a quaint area.
I feel like you could do both of those. That could be a two birds, one stone thing.
Right? Yeah. I never did get to hug a sheep. I was very upset about that. I want you to know that. Happen. I kept screaming at people about why can't I hug a sheep?
Random people?
We're not going to go there. I like to yell at people a lot. You know this. Mm. I think this has a lot to do with just my overall burnout with my day job, as I've talked about often, and just the self-care. And of course, as we've talked about in our trauma series, I am a really big proponent of self-care. I think it's really important. And to me, a lot of what I do is very much based on a stress reliever or shutting off the brain. But that's my kind of handle. That's kind of my, what is it, everyday life. The not social worker, not fixer, not talker portion of my life is just to shut my brain down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with that, I was just also thinking about why routines or the lack of routine is important, especially when it comes to burnout. The research completed by Montreal University states that women are more likely to experience burnout. And with that, the National Academy of Medicine did a specific study with physicians, which was noted that many of the female physicians were more likely to experience burnout as well.
Yeah.
You know, so within those types of fields, I thought, this is part of my release from being burnt out,
right.
And feeling like I had to put the world on my shoulders, which is not true. I'm a very small part of a bigger picture, of course, and I'm not the only one working these things. Just, you know, just having that as a daily thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with the female physicians, I feel like it could be linked with also social workers and nurses and obviously all of those. They're more likely to suffer burnout due to emotional exhaustion.
Yeah.
And I think that says a lot.
Yeah.
As where they talked about men being more burned out because of cynicism. And I think that exhaustion, that emotional exhaustion is what makes me just want to shut down. Because it is freaking taxing
it
to
is.
Feel like, oh, God, I failed. You know?
Yeah,
or is. Caring so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, for me, I have both the cynicism and the emotional exhaustion. But of course, we know that cynicism is a sign of burnout, so kind of all links together. So with that, all of my routines, including self-care, include self-care, but the ability to do nothing is probably what I love and try to cling to the most. So for my routine, it literally is coming home from wherever it is, whether it's from the house of works place or my day job or traveling, because I have to do a lot of traveling to inspect different placements and such. I walk in. Make sure to talk to my dog, Peaches, because mm-hmm. she's right there waiting for me. And, of course, we have an intimate conversation about how much she missed me.
Of course.
And she understands everything I say, uh-huh. obviously.
Definitely.
And then immediately throwing my stuff on the floor, and this is where it's chaos, because I'm like, I don't care where it goes. It's just going to land here. And then take off my shoes, take off my bra, and most of the times, just take off the pants. I'm like, yeah. And it doesn't matter what I'm wearing.
If I'm Whatever. Wearing,
yeah, it's like, nope, that's it. That's all coming off. And then I usually sit. And for me, that might include a nap. That might include watching whatever rerun I want to watch. Or that might include me playing Candy Crush on my phone. That's been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
People make fun of me. And I also do word searches. I love doing
a word search.
And I also am a multitasker. Uh-huh. So often I'll be doing two out of three. So, I may have the TV on as I nap.
Mm-hmm.
Or I might be doing the word search as I watch TV. Like, it's kind of that type of thing. It's just for me to space out.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me in the mornings, I'm definitely one of those that set an alarm
mm-hmm.
and then put it on snooze 6 times.
Oh, my goodness.
At least 3 or 4 times for sure. And I'm like, okay, I hear you. Okay, I hate you. Okay, this is the worst day ever. The best attitude. I have the best attitude when waking up.
Uh-huh.
which also inevitably means I'm scrambling around, mm-hmm. trying to get ready as fast as possible. And that includes, putting on some makeup. Usually I've showered the night before because I know I'm that big of a mess that I can't. But also because I exercise in the evening, and so I have to shower after the fact, obviously. And then I grab some coffee, I quickly let my dog out, come back, and then leave. And usually I run about 5 to 10 minutes late. I'm one of those people. Yeah. And I think this is where I'm like, That's where Annie wakes up at 6:30, goes for her 4 to 8 mile run. I don't know exactly what happened, but I'm glad I put pants on and ran out the door. That's usually the goal. And I don't have to turn around.
I like I don't know exactly what happened, but I'm here now.
Essentially, I'm like, hey, I made it. Ooh, I'm alive, y'all. I'm alive. I did it. But yeah, I think all of those different things, this is my routine, the lack of routine. It does seem a bit chaotic, but I'm also one of those that I'm a pretty big mess. Mm-hmm. Like, I have organization in my disorganization. So if someone were to come in and try to clean up and like organize for me, I would lose it because I would not be able to find anything. As for right now, I know exactly where everything is.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely one of those people.
Again, I know a lot of friends like that. My older brother is definitely like that. And I think it is interesting because I feel like you and I, having nothing terrifies me. And I think, like, my amount of planning terrifies you.
Right.
And it just is, and numbers and science, there has been research into this. It is how people cope with things.
Right.
And what gives them this feeling of kind of safety or structure, or, like, lack of structure within the structure.
Right.
So we do have some stats around routine.
Oh, we love some stats.
We do.
Give me that data.
Okay, here you go. According to YouGov, most of us, around 56%, spend somewhere between 11 to 30 minutes getting ready. On the outlier end, 2% spend less than 5 minutes, and 3% take over an hour. There is some truth to the stereotype that women in general take longer in their routines, and that is largely because of makeup. 21% of men take over 30 minutes compared to 38% of women. And over the course of a year, that amounts to almost 8 days, which I actually thought it would be higher than that.
Right. I was going to say, as we're reading this and talking about this, Say a Little Prayer for You, that song is going through my head.
I don't know that.
When I wake up, I put on my makeup, say a little prayer for you. Like, okay, never mind. All right. That is, now that you don't know that song?
No.
Oh my God. All right. We're going to have to stop all together. I Say a Little Prayer for You is a song that begins with her having a routine, and as she's doing this routine, she's saying a prayer for her.
Right.
Her, I guess, man, or her wish to be man, her crush. Oh. Anyway, but yeah, makeup for sure. I digress. I definitely have like a 5 to 10 minute makeup routine as well. You were talking about what you wear. I'm very much like, I like the mineral blush. For me, or mineral foundation for me, because I don't like caked on face. Just my thing. I definitely put eyeliner on because, as an Asian woman, with the whole like lit eyelid stigma, you know, a lot of Asian women get surgeries to get that eyelid, like white women, essentially. Mm-hmm. As well as I don't have a lot of eyelashes, so I want to bring out that look. And that's just the whole kind of obviously insecurity. With my own ethnicity a little bit, if we want to really dig deeper, but I feel like I can't go out without that. That's one of my, I have to wear that thing.
Yeah.
But typically it just takes about 5 minutes. But for me, trying to find, as we talked about earlier, find clothes that I'm comfortable with that day. Not that I like, not that I, you know, want to wear, I've picked out. It's literally like, I don't feel good in this. Mm-hmm. And that can be a whole 20-minute process.
Oh,
which is a sad thing.
It is. It is.
And I recognize that, but it's just such like, and it bothers me that it's that level.
Yeah,
that we have to go to. And I'm guessing a lot of women have to deal with that as well as the fact that they don't feel good enough about themselves to get the clothes that they want.
Yeah.
Or they think, you know, just thinking that they won't look good in this. That in itself is just heartbreaking. Oh, and I'm part of that statistic.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I was too afraid to buy clothes that fit.
Right.
Because I hated my body so much.
Right.
And I would like, I couldn't look in the mirror for long. I would like just, okay, it's okay.
I think it just took me to 5, 10 years ago to be like, oh, I can look at myself naked and not hate everything and want to stop crying.
That reminds me of that Scrubs quote.
Oh, yeah.
Where she says, I can look at my body for almost a full minute naked. That's more than most women.
It is absolutely true.
Yeah. I was nodding my head when I was pretty young when that came out.
Yeah.
I was
like, And you'll be like, yes, girl. Good to have your confidence, because that's confident.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, for a lot of women, a large part of routine does involve makeup. And I found some statistics around this, but statistics around cosmetics are infamously hard to rely on because they're usually conducted by cosmetic companies. But anyway, 60% of women wear makeup every day and 32% wear it most days. Although, interestingly to me, 15% never wear makeup and 33% report wearing it only on special occasions. And this is something we've talked about before, the makeup tax.
Right.
Basically, through our media, we are taught from a very young age that a woman looks like one that is wearing makeup. That is the natural state.
Right.
I was watching a cartoon recently and was impressed and annoyed that all of the female characters had on-point eye makeup. And I know it's like an easy way to differentiate this one, this one,
right.
But
you
internalize that stuff.
Right.
So if you don't wear makeup, you automatically are breaking a norm in our society,
right,
and will quite possibly be punished for that. People don't like when you break norms generally.
Right.
We are expected to wear it. That's the problem with the whole, well, just don't wear makeup if you don't want to. We'll be punished for it.
Right.
And also, some of us like to wear makeup,
right,
and that's okay. There are some days where I like to wear it and some days I don't. It varies for day by day.
Right.
But I don't like the obligation that I have to.
Right.
And women report feeling more confident when they wear makeup, and I definitely relate to that. And it's because they're more confident because they, on some level, know that expectation.
Right. Well, I mean, this all comes back to the perception of what is pretty,
yeah,
and what is not pretty. Mm-hmm. And then even you look at TV and the ones who are natural makeup or natural, and you're like,
yeah,
that bitch has mascara and eyeliner,
yep,
and red lipstick. What the hell are you talking about natural?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole absurd idea of what natural looks like, as well as the fact that doesn't freaking exist.
Yeah.
There's not one natural look, okay? Some people have different types of scars. Some people have different problems with acne. Some people have rosacea, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. They can embrace all of those things. And I think also I love the male gaze and the whole...
You love the male gaze.
in their assumption that they can dictate either way. You're wearing too much makeup.
Oh, sure.
You're not wearing enough makeup. If you would fix yourself...
Well, that's why they like the all-natural thing, because then they can pretend you're not wearing makeup.
Right.
Because you should be pretty enough to not need it.
Right. And I'm just like, what the hell? You don't get to have an opinion? Unless you're a man who puts on makeup for themselves, go for it. Unless you identify as male that loves makeup, hell yeah, do it. You look amazing. Teach me those things.
Yeah.
Why are you having, outside of that, y'all, what are you talking? Also, I do love when my mom says the phrase, put my face on.
Yeah.
And that is a very old school face.
It is.
Old school phrase.
It is.
Also a face.
Well, that's related to, I was going to say, there's an Arrested Development bit where she's putting her face on and it's like a horror movie. And that's, every time I hear that phrase, I do think, like, that sounds like a monster or something.
Right. And my mom has said that many a times and can't come out.
Yeah.
You're not
Don't
fully
look
dressed.
At me.
You're not fully dressed without your makeup.
Right. Right. And kind of going off what you were saying, I'll never forget the time I was doing a 48-hour film thing, which we had to write and make and edit this film in 48 hours, like short film. And the director was like, all natural look. That's what
right.
I want for her, because I was the only woman in it. He asked how long that will take, and he clearly thought it was going to take like a minute. And the answer was like 30 minutes to an hour with a professional. And it is one of my first ever tweets is I took a picture of the table of makeup for the all natural
right.
look.
Right.
And I was so annoyed because I had this big emotional monologue to memorize, and I spent most of the time in the makeup chair not able to do it, and I was seeing the dudes that I was acting with, and they were just practicing their lines. They didn't have to do the makeup thing. There was, like, a little bit and some hair stuff, but they were just done.
Right.
So frustrated.
Right.
Like, that's, I would consider that kind of a punishment that we have to pay.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's time that I could have been spending.
Right.
Doing something that's not focused on my looks.
As you were mentioning earlier, like time tax is kind mm-hmm. of exactly what that is.
Yeah. And study after study has shown that women that wear a moderate amount of makeup are seen as the ever-elusive more likable and more competent, which directly impacts professional opportunities. One study found that when given the same picture, so it's the same woman,
right?
One with makeup, one without, and the picture of her in makeup was more likely to get the job. Another one found, well, these pictures were shown to hiring managers. So
right.
We clarified that. Another one found that male patrons of restaurants are more likely to give female waitresses more tips if they are wearing makeup.
Oh, yeah. So as a bartender, I work at a brewery and serve beer. Every time I make sure that I have that red lipstick on, all of the makeup on, my hair is perfect, all of that, to the point where if I don't wear that and come in, they're like, what happened to you? One.
Sick or something.
Right.
Literally, I've gotten
are you
that
sick?
Before.
You're not feeling good?
Yeah.
Or I have not been recognized by people who'd never seen me that dressed up. They're like, what's wrong with you?
Something terrible
right.
has happened.
Like, why are you wearing makeup like that? I'm like, I'm trying to get those tips. What are you talking about? And it's such a cop out. I hate that I play into that, but yeah, I'm like, I gotta get that money.
Yeah.
I got it. That's the reason I'm here for my third job.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah, I went into a whole deep dive on the, and I didn't include it here because this episode was never intended to be all about makeup, but like
right.
the deep dive of science of makeup and why. And it's all about contrast and like accentuating.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I can't do it right. That's what I figured out.
Because
as I'm watching all of the different YouTube videos, and I love watching like the 14-year-olds
yeah.
knowing how to do things, I'm going, what?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you learn that? What's that? What? First of all, what product is that? Where did that come from?
Right.
How did that come to exist?
Mm-hmm.
And where did you put it?
What? Also, we should talk about the cosmetics industry alone makes $60 million a year. And that money largely comes from women. The average woman will shell out $15,000
right.
over their lifetime.
And YouTube and makeup tutorials have become their best friends, I'm sure.
A study conducted by Marks and Spencer found that women spend 17 minutes on average picking out an outfit.
As I said.
I don't remember the number, but a decent percentage of men throw an outfit a week, like get angry and throw it.
I was going to say, I definitely know enough men or those who identify as males to stand and come back to me 3 or 4 different times going, does this look okay? What about this one?
Yeah.
What about this one? It's just like a printed pant. Or
yeah.
printed shorts or something, and then the shoes, and I'm like, yeah,
looks good.
Yeah, okay, great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I found one of my roommates in college had this poster, and it said, "It took 12 weeks to make a habit, and only 2 weeks to break it." And so I started to look into the truth of that, and I found from a quick Google search, it seems like it's 66 days somewhere in there to build a habit on average, but up to 254 days. And breaking habits is much more complicated because some people do it like cold turkey.
Right.
Some people take a lot of time to do it. So I have a real anxiety about running that I'll just stop doing it because
right.
I don't, if I take too long
right.
in between.
Oh, yeah, I did the same thing. So I work out a lot. I don't run anymore because I'm old and my hip hurts,
mm-hmm.
essentially. But I've been doing a lot of, like, cardio gym and all the dance classes. And then I'll do some running on the treadmill more so than anything else. And I say this as we're about to run the Peachtree next week.
Yep.
I'm going to die. Like, I'm probably just going to quit halfway through and get an Uber to end it, just so you know. but I remember I think I was gone for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got sick, and then holidays, and I had stopped working out completely.
Yeah.
And it took me a little while to get back into the routine because of that. Maybe it was because I was spending more time with other things or
mm-hmm.
just not feeling like going out. But trying to get back in the habit, I have been overexerting myself
yeah.
to make sure I stay in the habit. So instead of just working out 3 or 4 times a week, I'm doing it like 5, 6,
mm-hmm.
maybe 2 in a day. It gets crazy, though. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. And that actually is a good segue into what we're going to talk about next, which is, are routines good or bad?
Ooh.
Yeah. But first, we're going to pause for a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And we're back. Thank you, Spencer. Routines do create efficiency, and this gives our brain more room to think about other things outside of that routine. Like we said earlier, it does save time, or it can. It can increase proficiency. It's less taxing on your willpower and decision-making brain space because you've already done that thing.
Right.
It reduces procrastination. When I read that, I was like, oh my God, because I cannot procrastinate. It's actually like...
And I love procrastinating. I actually thrive on it sometimes.
I know a lot of people do, and I wish I could at least a little.
No, I wish I could plan ahead sometimes because I'm like, why do I have to put stress on myself be able to be accurate?
Why we're like a transformer of one person.
We are a good, we're the perfect person together.
Yes. Apart, we're on the outliers, but it can be useful when it comes to self-care. Routine can be. It can save you money, especially when it comes to food, if you plan those things out. It can relieve stress, but it can also cause stress.
Right.
And more on that in a minute. And it can also give you a way to develop goals and track your success in achieving those goals. And routine is especially important for kids, and especially in the context of significant life-changing events.
Exactly. So the routines in toddlers and infants teaches security and emotional stability. And also shows them that they have someone who provides for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of one of those things, that security, that hierarchy of needs. And they can trust that things are provided, which makes me wonder how traumatized. I'm just going to go ahead and get this down in this dark, dark road. And I'm sorry, but I can't help it. How traumatized these toddlers and adolescents and infants are as we are detaining them,
mm-hmm.
and pretty much taking them away from their families for trying to become and trying to find refuge and in a home, as we've seen more and more. I know it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger as all the reports are coming out, that it's getting worse. The conditions are getting way worse. There's reports about having, which, by the way, I've talked about before about traumatization, about parentification. We're having adolescents take care of infants.
Yeah.
We're having adolescents take care of toddlers because there's no one else who can play that parent role. And we're quickly damaging and disrupting the nurturing of these kids. Anyway, okay. Sorry. See, I have to bring it down a little bit sometimes, even on our easier episodes.
Well, it is important. And that's the thing is, like, I feel like we dismiss routine a lot as just, stuck in the same old routine.
Right. And it's easy to think of it in our very privileged setting.
Totally.
And about what routine can be, and it's fantastic, or not choosing to not have a routine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I'm talking about being able to be lazy and not do things, but for, again, you were talking about a single parent trying to figure out how to support their kids, can't afford daycare, but has to have three jobs, and all the only two or three jobs, and the only option is stay home with your grandma, hopefully this will work, and sometimes, okay, you're a 14-year-old, you're going to have to take care of this 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. Like that stuff like that is like, again, routine is also a privilege.
It is. It is. And that's one of the things that when I was looking into why it is so important for children,
right,
is this formative time. And if it's all chaos and there's nothing you can count on,
right,
that has lasting impacts.
Exactly. And which is why we talk about the CDC even delves into the importance of structure mm-hmm. for these kids as well. And obviously, if the CDC is talking about, we're talking about health crisis, essentially. And a routine can disrupt a child's health.
Man, CDC called me the other day.
What?
They left a message.
Oh, sh-.
I don't know if I'm going to return it. I will. I want to know what's up. the routine is also really important for seniors, especially in the context of increasing unknowns. And maybe that is decreased mental or physical function, both increased dependency.
Right.
I have to say, when I think of my high school routine, I honestly am not sure how I was functioning at all. And I don't think that the current routine we expect of our young folks is healthy. And there's been a lot of research into that as
right.
well.
Just about the amount of homework, the amount of expectations placed on them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that kind of goes back into, again, privilege and what's over the top. And well, not teaching responsibility. But yeah, definitely. I know for me, I think in college, and I know we were supposed to be somewhat adults, but being thrown into good luck.
Yeah.
Was brave. Difficult. It was really difficult.
It was. Yeah. Routine is also, like we kind of alluded to earlier, really important when it comes to sleep. And for people like me who have difficulty sleeping, a routine can improve that. So we've established routine is important, but so is allowing yourself to break it every now and then to get away from your routine. Some studies have demonstrated that routine might be a creativity killer. One Time article I found suggested that we are at our most creative when we are groggy. And the reason is that the processes that shut down irrelevant or distracting thoughts are at their weakest. So those thoughts are allowed to, like, live their best life. And with this diffuse focus, as it's called, our brain can be more creative with our network of knowledge, making connections we might not otherwise have made. And for morning people, this might actually happen in the evening as you're kind of unwinding. I'm one of those weirdo combos.
Yeah, you are.
And I relate to this so much because I used to live for that twilight between being asleep and being awake because I would get the most exciting thoughts or ideas. I used to have this ongoing dream. And it was like a TV series, and it was almost a lucid dream, but not quite. And right. I never knew where it was going to go, and I was constantly surprised by what happened in it. It was like, must-see TV, what's going to happen next? And it went on for years. And
wow.
I eventually wrote it all down, but it only happened in this in-between state. So sometimes I'd be too excited to get, I got to know what happens, but I was too excited to get there.
Right.
And I still let myself do it every now and then.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, do you go back to the same dream?
Yeah.
Wow. For me, like, I won't necessarily have a connected dream. It's not like it's a episode of series. It's more of I get the same dream and, like, with new people or a new place. Uh-huh. So it's always they're shooting at me. But this person's here and I'm trying to help convince this person not to do it. Uh-huh. Oh, you're telling me you're about to murder somebody. Yeah, I have some really weird dreams.
Oh, my God.
I'm also the one that does the...
Sleep paralysis.
So
that's terrifying.
I'm one of those. So during usually those days when I'm trying to wake up, those are the moments that I cannot freaking wake up. I'm having an anxiety attack trying to wake myself up.
Right.
So for me, it's like a constant nightmare of emotions like, please wake up. Please open your eyes. Please open your eyes. I can't open my eyes. Oh, my God. It's kind of like the Eternal Sunshine moment where he gets to open his eyes for just a second and go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's what usually happens. I don't do it all the time, but that's usually at that time frame that I will have it.
Yeah, I've only experienced that a couple times, and it is terrifying. Even if you know what it is, it's still scary. An embarrassing side note, I once sent a drunk fan letter to fellow podcast Stuff to Blow Your Mind back when I was an intern, and I was an editor on the show about this whole dream thing, and I signed it with my middle name because I was like, oh, they'll never get it. But I totally forgot I had an auto signature. And So I get an email and they're like, I'm just checking. Was this you?
Oh, love it.
I had to fess up and then they put it on the air. They read it on the air and I could have cut it out, but I was like, no, I have to bear my shame.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious. Yeah. I think, you know, as we were talking about, my groggy state once again was not necessarily the most comfortable level. I also have those moments of stress or a lack of sleep. And for me, I have to lay down immediately. And I've had many moments where I will. It's kind of, I feel like I've asked, I'm like, do I have narcolepsy? Because this is getting weird. Where I'm, if I'm really overly tired or really stressed out about something, I get really stressed out in places like the mall.
Yeah.
Any place with bright lighting, lots of people, it makes me freak out that I have to physically sit. And then if I'm driving home or if I'm with someone, they have to drive me home because I'm afraid I'm going to fall asleep. Like, that's the level of exhaustion. Uh-huh. But, like, I've definitely had, you were talking about your drunken story of emailing because you had a brilliant idea. For me, as I said, the sleep thing, I've definitely had to sneak a nap in a crowded or weird situation. Like, I was at a dinner party with, I think, like, I was meeting new people with one of my best friends. She'd just moved, and I was coming to hang out with her. And I decided I was really sleepy, and I needed a nap. So I just folded myself underneath the table. It's still sitting. So I was kind of like just, you know, as if I was covering my head type of moment, and slept for about a good 30 minutes, maybe, not 30 minutes, I'm sorry, like a minute, 5 minutes, to the point that people are like, is she okay? Y'all, what's going on? And then they still talk about it to this day, and it's been years, like probably over a decade long. But that's the level I get.
I would probably still bring that up.
Look, it's just talent that I can just fold over into my chair and fall asleep underneath the dining table as everybody else is laughing and eating.
I agree. I'm kind of shocked and impressed. I fell asleep in the elevator once. That's my claim to fame when it comes to sleeping. Going back to the whole night owl morning bird thing, science now suggests that there are probably 4 chronotypes. That's what they're called. Mm. And it also suggests that it's generally fruitless to try and change which one you are. We do go through natural shifts. Children and seniors are more likely to be morning birds, and teens are way more likely to be night owls. But trying to force yourself to change can have negative results. Subjects in studies shifted off of their sleep schedule started to experience pre-diabetic symptoms within 3 weeks, and their metabolic rate dropped 8%, which could have resulted in a weight gain of almost 13 pounds in the space of a year. And this is sometimes called social jet lag, when your clock is off of almost everyone else's around you. And in many ways, our society punishes night owls. We think that they're lazy. We push them to be morning people. Our work schedules are designed around morning/afternoon people.
Yeah, Annie, stop punishing me for not getting up. I'm just playing. I know you wouldn't.
No, I that was a really interesting read to think about it in that context.
Right, because I've never really thought about that too. It does. It kind of like ostracizes people who biologically are not that type of person, and it's really not fair.
Right. And it is, not getting enough sleep is a serious health problem that impacts a lot of people. So for sure, probably will return to it.
Right.
The problem that I have with routine is I do feel a lot of guilt when I break it. I go on such a spiral if I don't run. I thought about it several times a day in Hawaii, like, I could find some time to run. I could.
Hawaii. Sorry, I just had to, I'm going to be better for like the next 5 years. Until I go to a cool trip like Hawaii, I probably will just be better. It just fits me. It's
okay.
Fine. But yeah, I think for me, having to bind myself to a routine outside of my regular habits feels like a chore.
Yeah.
And can feel really self-defeating.
Sure.
Because, like, you know, I try to be the adult who had the list so I can check it off. But for me, usually that list doesn't get checked off.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of those big things. Like, a part of my job and a part of my just mentality is being able to change and be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that flexibility, it often means everything shifts very, very quickly. Different emergencies happen, different things happen. So when I see I've not accomplished according to this paper, all of this, it makes you just like, well, I'm just going to give up now. I'm going to go up my corner. So for me, like, having that type of structure makes me feel like I'm just setting myself up.
Right. For failure.
Yeah.
I have heard that from a lot of people. And we are creating a pressure and an expectation when we have routines, which can be good, but it also can mean creating an unneeded extra stressor.
Right.
And not to mention something unhealthy. I've said before, I call running my coping mechanism gone wrong.
Right.
Stress can harm the brain's myelin sheath, which can lead to less light bulb moments. So that is another instance in which perhaps it does impact creativity.
This was definitely something to consider for those who are working parents, because we are a very female-centric podcast, specifically to moms who often feel the guilt of not being the perfect maternal figure with a schedule perfectly in sync with the children and partner, and just the pressures to have a perfect household. And this is more of like, of course, again, the heteronormative perspective of mom, partner, kids. Just the matriarch, just in general, the matriarch. But as we know, this type of household exists. I know things are quickly changing, and we're seeing the father figures step up. We have the same-sex couple who seem to get it right more so than others, but there's also this unlevel expectation sometimes as well. And I know, I think there are moments where sometimes it's too dependent on the male. I'm sure there is. But what we have seen on a regular, and what is sometimes still expected, more of like a religious tone, and not necessarily all the time, but I've definitely had conversations not only with my family, but from my past friendships who are fairly religious, and that's all cool. I have no problem with that, but also very Southern. Mm-hmm. And again, this is just what I know and not necessarily researched. It's anecdotal that these types of households exist, that women should maintain the home and these perfections are expected, even to the niche idea of the mother-in-law judging the future wife of whomever their child is. And it's a huge stressor that we don't talk about enough, I think, and that the fact that it is unhealthy, very, very unhealthy for these individuals who are putting their own pressures on themselves.
Well, yeah, and also society, their expectations.
Right, exactly. It's a double whammy, and it's kind of like we don't talk about that enough either, where, that still exists. How do we kick this?
A lot of research shows that it has become more egalitarian, but women are still consistently doing more of the child-rearing, more of the cleaning, all that stuff. But, I mean, again, heteronormative, but that is a part of a routine when you become a parent, that you have to not only have your own routine, you have to make sure manage this child's routine.
Right. So you just pick the solution I picked. Have a dog, live by yourself, end of story. No?
That is one solution. it's a path, we'll say. It's one path you could take. It's also a good thing to allow space for routines to evolve, to not let them become cages. Sometimes, For me, I've come to terms with one day I will not run this much, and that's just going to be the thing. That's how it's going to be. So that is not a bad thing. John Tierney over at the New York Times prescribes a routine of no routine, spontaneity all the time. That sounds super stressful to me, but I understand that some people like it.
Well, as the introvert, my spontaneity is just saying no.
Your spontaneity is staying
in. And when they're like, hey, you want to... I have things I have to, you know, do... The things that I said I had to do, the things of those things. Okay, thanks.
If any of your friends listen to this, and they're going to be so on to you.
They already are.
Oh, good. Then they're good friends. Some advice from the Times article called for waking up a little earlier and letting yourself stay in bed and let your mind wander for a few minutes, and or staying in the shower a little bit longer and using that time to think of anything other than task-oriented thoughts. I will say, if you're concerned about water conservation, perhaps the bed one is better. But anyway, watching upbeat videos instead of depressing news, because negativity also impacts creativity.
I am all about the good videos, especially like all the dog videos. I have watched probably all of them at this point.
I believe it.
And none of the sad ones, though, just all the good ones where they're rescued and they look amazing, or they're coming to find their owners and or where they fall. And it's funny. You know, it's those things. And of course, I also love watching the kids doing hip-hop, who can actually do hip-hop dancing. And have you seen these?
I have. I'm just surprised that this
I love
is,
it.
Okay.
I
yeah,
love
that's
it.
That's great.
Because it motivates me. Like, if they can do it, I can't do this. I wish I could do this.
Immediately shut yourself down. I want to point out here, there are certainly unhealthy routines. And I find we often call these rituals and stuff routines, but the things around, like, drugs in particular. And also, as always, people are complex and different. Some people prefer and or need more routine. Others...
as you can tell by the two of us.
Yeah. So that's about the end of our talk on routine, which turned into more than I ever imagined.
My bad.
But we do have a little bit more for you. But first, we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
We're back. Thank you, sponsor. And we're back with an outro, very, very little bit more. But we would love to hear from you, what is your routine?
Right.
What does that look like? Do you think routines are good or bad or both?
Yeah. Do you do things similar to us or are you judging us? Flash me.
Yeah. How many women out there in particular take their bra off like within a minute of getting home? You can send your routines to us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Instagram at stuffmomnevertoldyou and on Twitter at momstuffpodcast. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Andrew Howard.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks to you for listening. Stuff Under Told You is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
We are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.